This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and kindle within us the fire of your love. Take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. Any day this week, pretty much, maybe even just in the course of an hour, someone could be bombarded with this kind of flow of information. The economy is finally getting better. Shootings in Paris by terrorists, one still at large. The unemployment rate is the lowest it's been since 2008. Wages are still not increasing. Horrific car pileups because of huge snow up north. Gas prices are predicted to go below $2 a gallon in some parts of the country before the end of the year. Ebola, while raging still in some parts of Africa, is beginning to level off in some areas where it was rampant. A parent sees one child thriving, another making horrible choices. Medical miracles for two of our parishioners, we hear. Another fighting against leukemia, his young children and wife watching. Absolutely stunning sunrise or sunset. An email with a photograph of a bright red cardinal in the snow from a family member up north. The touch of a child's hand, sobbing in the night. This is the information flow in a contemporary day, right? I mean, it could be like that for any one of us. It might change a little bit, but it's up and down and up and down. And I would venture to say that we come here to find peace, to find our mainstay, to find shelter from a storm or grief, hope, comfort, guidance, strength, and to reassure our foundation in and through God, one that gives us a strong bearing for navigating the ups and downs in this journey. Well, my friends, the readings for today do exactly that. First, we hear the beginning of the creation story in the very beginning of Genesis. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And he separated the light from the darkness, and there was day, and then there was night. And God saw that it was good. The darkness and the light both. Then we hear this psalm proclaiming the majesty of creation and saying, "Let us worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." And then in the Acts of the Apostles, we hear of the surprise of the people hearing about a baptism in the Holy Spirit that no one had heard of before. No one had heard of such a thing. It was all new. And then, still amazing, Jesus Christ presenting himself to be baptized by John in the Jordan River, and he comes up out of being immersed in the river, and a voice comes from the heaven, "You are my beloved. In you I am well pleased." So we have this declaration of God's creation and this power greater than us in and through the Holy Spirit proclaiming a life force constant in our midst and one in which we are called, especially this day, to immerse ourselves in so that we can not only navigate in this sometimes confusing and sad world, but to find a peace that passes understanding in the midst of all of it. Baptism means immersion. It comes from the Greek baptizo, and that's what it means, immersion. In Jesus being baptized by John, he was embracing all things human. At that time, and in our time too. He came to be in solidarity with us, to help us wake up to who we really are as children of God, and that we are beloved, that we are loved. And we are. And you are. You cannot be more loved than you are right now by God, because it's an infinite, unending love. Jesus did not receive baptism in the Jordan River just to have this private little spiritual party with John and God. He received it to pass it on. Think about it. If Jesus was supposedly without sin, yet asked to be baptized by John, who was all about repentance, what was the purpose of his baptism? I don't have the answer. Theologians have struggled with this for centuries and centuries. And what then, it prompts again the question, might the purpose of our baptisms be today? Theologians from Athanasius in the 4th century to Karl Barth in the 20th have argued, and I quote, that the baptism of Jesus merely manifested his already existing identity. It manifested. Same thing for us. Our real identity in Christ, known to our Creator. We were not made flawed. If you recall, on the 6th day, God made them male and female and saw that it was good. Chapter 3, we mess up. God made humans in his image. Are we born into a flawed world? You bet. You bet. Do we need forgiveness and to know that we are forgiven in baptism? Absolutely. Absolutely. And that is declared in the coming of Jesus Christ. As we've talked about before, the definition of a sacrament, the sacrament of baptism, or any of the sacraments, is an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. And you do not have to earn God's grace. It's there, no matter what. At Unplugged today, we are going to be baptizing Sophie Lynn de Blasi, baby daughter of Erica and Ernie. And next week at the 9:30 service, we're going to be baptizing 5 more people, confirming many more, receiving people into the Episcopal Church, and we will all reaffirm our baptismal vows. And then Ernie and Erica today, just like those who stand up for any of the infants next week, and those who are doing it for themselves, will vow to live their lives in the love of Christ, to really know that and to manifest it. And then they will be sealed in baptism in the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own for effort. It is a commissioning. It's a commissioning sacrament to then go out into this world. And we even give them a candle like this. We light it and we hand it to the parents or to the person being baptized if they're old enough. And we say, carry the light of Christ out into the world. We pass it on. And much is asked of us. Much. This way of knowing that we are to be about God's business is not only known in Christianity. Jewish physician, Holocaust survivor, and author Viktor Frankl knew. His whole life was dedicated to helping others find their meaning in life. And despite hardship, immense personal suffering, and unspeakable family tragedies, he fought to cultivate understanding in the world in the face of real evil. Reflecting on his time in the concentration camps, he writes about how it was with he and his fellow prisoners. And he wrote about this in his book that many of you probably have read called A Man's Search for Meaning. And I quote, "We had to learn and we had to teach the despairing men that it did not really matter what we expected from life, but rather what life expected from us." This is while he's in a concentration camp. We needed to stop asking about the meaning of life and think instead of ourselves as those who were being questioned by life, daily and hourly. Our answer must consist not in talk and meditation, but in right action and right conduct. Now, he wasn't against meditation and talking, but he's focusing on action, being commissioned in this world to find a meaning and make a difference, to immerse ourselves completely in this new understanding, to say yes to the love of God, to the love of self and love of others, and declare it in Christ Jesus, is to be a follower. Is to be a follower. And this mystery of the anointing offers us a profound, sacred mystery that goes beyond our understanding. And saying yes to your Creator, to the evolution of your very being, no matter your age, no matter if you are on your deathbed and it's an internal journey, to realize that all is made new in Christ in every moment. In closing, I share this poem by John O'Donohue from his book, To Bless the Space Between Us. It's called For a New Beginning. I invite you to listen deeply, knowing that it's written for you, and close your eyes if you'd like. In out-of-the-way places of the heart, where your thoughts never think to wander, this beginning has been quietly forming, waiting until you were ready to emerge. For a long time, it has watched your desire, feeling the emptiness grow inside you, noticing how you willed yourself on, still unable to leave what you had outgrown. It watched you play with the seduction of safety and the gray promises that sameness whispered. Heard the waves of turmoil rise and relent. Wondered, would you always live like this? And then the delight, when your courage kindled and out you stepped onto new ground, your eyes young again with energy and dream, a path of plenitude opening before you. Though your destination is not clear, you can trust the promise of this opening. Unfurl yourself into the grace of beginning that is one with your life's desire. Awaken your spirit to adventure. Hold nothing back. Learn to find ease in risk. Soon you will be home in a new rhythm, for your soul senses the world that awaits you. Amen.